Today on episode 116 of Typical Chicago Fans, we have Sinkers and Floaters, the TCF Sports Minute, our college football week 6 preview, the NFL week 5 pick show, and the TCF top 3 of fall activities. Let's roll. Hello and welcome to episode 116 of Typical Chicago Fans, brought to you by our incredible sponsor, Connect Roasters. Make sure to follow them on Twitter at Connect Roasters and follow us on Twitter at Typical_Chicago. Head to our Facebook and Instagram pages as well. Give those pages a like. Go on over to YouTube and subscribe to the Typical Chicago Fans podcast there for all of our content in video form. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find your podcast, we're there. Make sure you find us. You can follow me on Twitter at BoomyTCF, but make sure to follow the guys that I'm joined with tonight. That is Zach at Z, Lilia TCF, and Maddie, of course, at Schools_01. Also, before you go anywhere, head over to Beer Baseball Repeat on Instagram. Follow the link there. We have new merch there. They have 5 different shirts or different colors of shirts in 6 different styles with the TCF logo on it. A lot of you have asked for a black t-shirt. We've had the white ones in the past. They have white still if you want one of those. But they have 2 different shades of gray, black, sick. The charcoal, lighter gray, and even a navy blue. And then they also have like a regular t-shirt, a tank top, what are they? The fleece hoodie or just like sweaters, hoodies. What'd you say? Crew necks. That's the word I was looking for. That I should have just looked at my screen. You're wearing a crew neck right now. Mm-hmm. I couldn't come up with the word. Yes, they have everything you need there. Beer Baseball Repeat. You can check our Twitter and Instagram and our Facebook for all the information there. Make sure that you head over to Beer Baseball Repeat on Instagram, follow the link there, and pick up some new TCF merch. But boys, October is here. Football's in full swing. Basketball, hockey, they're right around the corner. How are we doing?
Feeling really good after the Bulls beatdown of the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. That was awesome to see the season get off to a hot start. The new faces for the Bulls on the Bulls. The Hawks looking good. Unfortunately, the Cubbies season is over, but we still have the Bears. So sports is still good in my life for now, you know.
And the weather's getting a little nicer.
Yeah, and Justin Fields is officially QB1, so I'm excited.
Absolutely. Maddie, how about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Zach on that one. The big news today was obviously we'll get into it, I'm sure, but Justin Fields, so he's QB1 officially, so that's good news. Fall's creeping in, that's good news. Like we said recently, you know, fall is fat guy season, so it's my time to shine's coming up here, so you know, things are on the upswing here. Let's get into the holiday season here in a couple weeks too. So, you know, starting with Halloween, got the Halloween decorations put up this weekend, kicking ass in the suburbs here. So, you know, doing my best.
Absolutely. Like you said, podcast full of 3 guys who shine and fall with the extra layers that we can throw on, but absolutely. Let's get
Boomy,
into
though,
it.
Looking at the Beer Baseball Repeat, I was thinking, you know, you have to get the gun show, the tank, don't you? I mean,
Maddie, you're right. I've been kind of a no show at the gym since COVID. I think I've gone 5 times since I tested positive. What was that, about a month and a half ago? But I gotta get it under control before I'm allowing myself to buy that shirt. I haven't earned it.
Like I said, charcoal, that color there is sick. I like that one there.
Absolutely. I've got a cart full. I'm going to order so much. I'm buying everybody's Christmas presents. with some new TCF merch. So I hope everybody in my our family and anyone I buy gifts for that's listening to this is knows that's coming. So trust me, the card
what'd
is
you,
loaded.
What'd you get from Boomy this year? Well, I got a T-shirt with his logo on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Free
and a jersey from China that I only got a picture of because he ordered it too late, and it'll be here in 2 to 17 weeks. That's usually what people get from me. So got to keep it consistent. Anyway, let's jump into it. As always, our sinkers and floaters. My sinker this week, guys, is the Zodiac Killer. I don't know if you've heard breaking news today, Wednesday, October 6th. Cold Case Task Force, led by former FBI agents and retired law enforcement officials, claim that they have finally uncovered the identity of the mysterious Zodiac Killer. They
believe it only took, like, what, 40 years?
Yeah, you know, no big deal.
40 years of, like, 4 movies, you know.
Yep. They believe it is a man who was named Gary Francis Post or Posty, but he died in 2018. So we'll see. I think this is, like, the third or fourth time that people have claimed that they know who the Zodiac Killer was. I believe the last Zodiac killing was in 1969. So, yeah, long time ago. But they do believe that they have the correct guy through this investigation that they've done. But they've also said that they linked one other killing to the Zodiac Killer that police and law enforcement agencies were not aware of in the past. So we'll see as more comes out. Obviously, this is breaking today. And like you said, all the movies and, you know, TV shows on it. It's not movies. Like this is they actually are. Zodiac is a solid
movie. Isn't that crazy that those movies were coming out and he was still alive?
Yeah, this guy's like watching Jake Gyllenhaal.
If what they say is true.
Yeah, I mean, talk about like an ego boost to a serial killer. I mean, they're like, oh my God. Like, how would you not like, you'd think somebody like that would probably just like fire up the engine again, you know, see if you still got it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, pull out the cleats and see if he's still got the game. But they said he died in 2018.
Throw 98 on the black.
Exactly. But it'll be interesting to see how they're going to, like, if they can, like, forensically, you know, prove this. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, this just broke today. So it'll be interesting to see if they can finally put this one to rest. Obviously, we've been on it for 52 years now. So
it's crazy. Hope they did catch it. At least people can get some, you know, some
sure.
justice.
Close,
long served justice is still there. You know,
100%.
My sinker is Urban Meyer's friends. Fellas, I know everyone's seen the video. What's going on there? If you're a good friend of Urban Meyer's, you got to, like, make a wall there.
Yeah.
Because I understand, yes, what he did was he has a wife. That's awful. Whatever. But if you're his friend, that should never get on video there. What are we doing?
Wasn't it also an Urban Meyer's bar? Like a bar he owns?
Probably has something to do with it. It was at Ohio State.
You would.
But it's like, why are those people standing on that side? If you're his friend, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta look out for the guy. If that's your buddy. I mean, you're right. They left him kind of out to dry.
That whole story is crazy. First of all, he didn't fly back with his team. Yeah, that's
the bigger problem. That's the bigger issue for him, in my opinion.
And these kind of things blow over with athletes
and, you know, like the...
He has pictures on his social media, and this girl is in them and tagged in them.
Right.
I think she did something with the Ohio State team.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh.
They knew each other before this,
right? Yeah, it's obviously, hey, like you guys said, 0-4. It's not a good
like
look.
Big Cat said all. Though, hey, his wife said, hey, Urban needs to get his groove back. Go out there, almost have too much fun, and then you're gonna be. We'll get into
the
picture.
The bigger problem is the players and not flying back with them. You know, and now,
now
he's a laughingstock for that team. It sounds like too, like they're like ripping on him, making fun.
Yeah,
of him.
I don't think that just started with this though.
Well, yeah, I think you're right there.
I don't know if you listened to, the PMT interview with Pete Prisco. They kind of go into how it's pretty much been it's ongoing. He just like walks into meetings and stuff like that, and just like it's not college football anymore.
Yeah. No. You're talking to grown men with,
you know, and then to go and do something like this. That's the crazy part.
Yeah. And no, if you know anything about Urban Meyer, he probably is one of those. I mean, he's been around college football so long. He probably went into the professional athletes and tried to treat them like the college kids a little bit. And, you know, talking about, you know, staying out of, you know, bad situations and, you know, making the right decisions. And then four weeks into the season.
These are grown men making millions of dollars. Like, you can't. That's not how you motivate
18-year-olds.
You don't really motivate them. You coach them. You know what I mean? They're motivated.
Do you think that any of the public backlash would be different if they weren't 0-4?
Probably. But still, I don't think it looks good. Either way, though, like, he's not. You know what I mean? I understand what you mean.
Segment of the world, though, that if they're 4-0 and Trevor Lawrence is kicking ass and he's the hot new head coach in the NFL, that now he could spend something like this is all he's just, you know, out having a good time.
Yeah, that might be.
I'm just saying, like, how the internet can spin something like that one way or the other, however it decides to take it.
If he's just out drinking or whatever, even if you want to say whatever with that happened, but if he was just out drinking, having fun, maybe a little too drunk, that would be even then with them being 0-4, you'd be like, all right. But with what he's doing and like how bad that looks, that's the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you're making yourself, you're embarrassing yourself more, and you're 0-4.
Yeah. Not a good look anyway around it, but yeah, that was a wild situation.
He needs to realize that he's getting paid like $10 million to be doing this job. Like, come on.
Yeah, and you're not flying back with the team. And
Make the players look bad sometimes, and they're trying to defend their coach and then the organization. It's just, it's more than just him.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But if he was liked, though, in that locker room, this would not be a big deal.
That's true, too, I think.
You know what I mean? Because they're saying within the organization, it's kind of a lot going on with it.
Yeah.
And the apology is awful.
That apology was wild.
Oh, whoa. He's throwing Lawrence's bachelor party under the bus. It's like, let's take it easy, buddy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Ridiculous move there too. My sinker is car thieves, and specifically ones in UFC fighters' neighborhoods. Kevin Holland, the UFC fighter, he just came off a wild no contest. He got that guy he was fighting, they headbutted each other and knocked Holland out briefly, and the guy jumped on him. He got, you know, fight became a no contest. Well, 2 days later after this fight, or 3 days later after the fight, he ends up coming across a guy in his neighborhood breaking into a car, and decides that, you know, stop the guy from breaking into the car, chase him down, almost gets run over, finally catches up to the guy because he can't get the car going or whatever, and kind of gave the old beat down and held him till the police came. And so my thing is maybe, you know, just who needs superheroes when you got – what's that?
Do your research.
Yeah, right. That or, you know, just make sure, like, you know, you got an MMA fighter in every neighborhood. We don't need superheroes on or something. You know?
I don't hate that at all. But if you're going to be a car thief, at least, like, maybe, look around and see where, you know, UFC fighters happen
make
to live.
Sure, imagine, make sure Kevin Holland's not chasing your ass now.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine, like, you're stealing the car or whatever. You're like, oh, okay, somebody's about to come after me and whatever. We'll see what happens here. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, no.
Oh shit, this guy's throwing the fist of fury at me, for Christ.
I saw that guy in ESPN last weekend. Like, that's tough.
Yeah, he's one of those fighters too. It talks a lot of shit too when he's fighting, and I can only imagine what he's saying to a car thief as he's beating him up. That's got to be awesome.
They should have mic'd him up for that. That would have been great.
No dice for the car thief on that.
Darn, yeah, I hate to see it. My floater is readers in New York City, people who read books, and that is because the New York City public libraries are killing late fees. They have decided to get rid of late fees, and they will be expunging existing fines for overdue books. So I didn't know this is coming from a guy who doesn't read very much, but I didn't know people still went to libraries. You know, that's great. If you like it, go to them. I don't know that I've never really lived in town. So the only library I ever went to was the one in college. So you had to live in town in Mendota to, you know, you could get a library card, but it wasn't really worth it. So I've never been a big library guy, but shout out to New York City libraries getting rid of late fees and existing fines. So shout out reading.
Yeah, shout out reading. But I have a... I don't know if I've been to a library recently in the last 26 years.
Recently in the last 26 years.
It's been a while. It's been a while for me. I know that.
Yeah. My floater, opening windows. It's that time of year where it's nice and cool out. You open that window. Ooh, it's beautiful. Even make it if it's get a little bit of a rain going. Because nothing's worse than when it's like muggy out and stuff. You don't want to open your windows. You want to keep the air conditioning in. But this time of year, turn the air off, open the windows. Oh, it's beautiful.
Zach, this is coming from a guy who lost our air conditioning went out during like the hottest week of the summer there in late August. We were big windows open people, and now we're finally getting, you know, the fruits of those labor. Like we went through some nights. There's no point in having the windows open. But now, it's a great time of the year to have those windows open. We talked about the weather quite a bit on here. This is like the perfect time of year for the old, you know, crack the window, get
we're kind of a weather podcast.
I'm gonna change my sinker back to booming going without air conditioning. What a wild move that is.
I even tried to get it fixed. We had a kid out here for like 4 hours and he couldn't fix it.
Maddie, you might have wanted to grow up with them.
Oh, I didn't have air conditioning until I moved out of my parents' house at 19.
It's the Midwest. It's not no walk in the park in the summer with the humidity. I don't know how you do it.
Never, it's crazy. Never knew any different.
Well, you had some of the rooms. You had
we had a window unit.
Conditioners. Yeah, the air conditioners that go in the window.
All right, well, that helps at least.
Well, we had one in the main room, and we were only basically allowed to turn it on if it was like over 90 degrees.
And even that,
I mean, we would just like sleep in that one room just to not like sweat ourselves to sleep. So,
hey, that's living the hustle there.
Papa Boomy was.
He played no games with the air conditioning.
Hey, that's how you make men. That's how you make boys into men right there.
I guess. I don't know if I go that far. it just makes very whiny adults, I guess, because now I just complain about it all the time.
Is it mine?
Oh, you're up, Maddie.
All right, floater. It's kind of leading, like I said, possibly into the sports minute, as we'll get into as well, I'm sure. But mine is playoff baseball, specifically the wild card format. A lot of heat getting to the wild card format. People saying the Dodgers don't deserve the risk of, you know, winning 102 games and then being out in one game. Well, I say bullshit to that. I think especially once your own team has gone through, you know, the flash loss of a one-game playoff like the Cubs have recently, you kind of lose sympathy a little bit for what other teams may be going through with it. And the chaos is better than anything. And the chaos of seeing, you know, a team piss away 162 games after just one night is it's fascinating to watch. So I can't get enough of it.
Because baseball is one of those sports, 162 games. It's a grinding season. And then you're done after one night.
Fuck you, see ya.
Especially with just, the Dodgers, you went over 100 games and you're just like, oh, no.
I mean, such a sadistic way to fucking go out, too. Like,
it's crazy.
Like, the blood, sweat, tears, you know, approach of 100. Like you said,
that's the thing about the playoffs. You have the playoff series and this and that. It's like, nope, you have one game.
Yeah.
One game from Max Scherzer where he goes 4 2/3 and 93 pitches, and all of a sudden your season's on the rocks, you know?
Or Garrett Cole goes, what? Did he go 2 innings?
3.
Yeah, gives up a 450-foot bomb to Bogarts. Yeah.
And gets paid, what, $400 million.
Yeah. So wild number.
Yep. So like Matt said, speaking of the playoffs, the White Sox will start their playoff run today, Thursday, October 7th. They are in Houston. But like Matt said, we had the Yankees Red Sox on Tuesday. Red Sox with a win. They will be moving on. And then as we record tonight, the Cardinals and the Dodgers are playing. They are tied at one in the seventh inning. So I agree with you, Matt. I totally get your point. But there's so many, there's a pro and con to me with that. Cause like you said, that those two games, those wild card games are just bananas and they're amazing.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you guys also said it in the same breath, like you can win 102 to 105 games and it's like, good luck. Okay. You lost. Well, sorry about that.
See you later.
There's gotta be, you know, I don't know. I think you might as well, for the excitement that it creates, like you have to also like that last week of the season, manage your roster so that you get, you know, your Scherzer pitching in a wild card game. So there's definitely some gamesmanship there, but like we said, the White Sox, the big story here in town, they will be starting the playoffs. Do you see the White Sox playoff going a little bit differently this year than it did last year with their quick exit in the first round?
I think it'll be competitive, but they got a tough team in the Astros, a team that is, they're looking to, they're trying to change the way that they're looked at. They're looked at as cheaters right now. They won the World Series, but everyone still looks at them as the guys who cheated their way to it, and they want to win it now, not cheating, I guess. And they're going to have to start with the White Sox. And that's tough for the White Sox because that's just an extra motivation for the Astros. I think it's a very good White Sox team, a very good offense. Lance Lynn's going game one, Giolito game two in Houston, which is going to be tough. But if this White Sox offense can stay hot, they got a little bit of a scare there with Abreu. Tested negative for COVID, but had a fever or whatever. That's one of the guys you cannot lose right now. And I'm excited to watch this. I'd like to see the White Sox win. I do not like the Astros.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Maddie, you think the White Sox got enough to get past the Astros here in round one?
Yeah, I actually do. I think they're going to win the series. I think, and frankly, I think they have the advantage of the pitching staff. I think the rotation without, you know, I saw some of the horses Houston has had up front the last few years. You know, they don't have that front end dominant, you know, starter that they've had. You know, yeah. Verlander, Cole, those kind of guys last few years. Greinke's not up there what he used to be, and you know he's hurt seemingly frequently. And you know, so like you said, they're going to go with McCullers in game one. He's a good pitcher, really good pitcher. Just doesn't have that like number one type vibe to him for the playoffs. So I think he's a good pitcher. It's not going to be an easy out for the Sox in that one. But then they're going to come back with Framber Valdez in game two, and the Sox kill lefties. And yeah, so you think with Giolito, you know, struggling possibly against that tough lineup in game two, having Framber Valdez, you know, coming back for the, you know, Sox to face and tee off on, you would think is a good equalizer. I do like the Sox in the series, especially if they can get game one. Lance Lynn's got to pitch really well.
On a scale of 1 to 10, boys, how confident are you in the White Sox bullpen once it gets, Matt, you talked about the starting pitchers, once they get, you know, to the backside of that? I mean, we've talked endlessly for the last couple months about solidifying that bullpen after the trade deadline. How confident are you, scale of 1 to 10, on the White Sox, Zach?
I have to go around 7. Six or seven, and you wish it was a little bit higher because with the way that the season ended, it wasn't a lot of confidence in them. But I think they've got some guys that hopefully when the moment is the biggest that they come to shine.
Definitely. I think they got the names there. I just don't know right now if I hope they have that, you know, ability once the playoffs are there that they can kind of, you know, turn the switch and be the dominant pitchers that they are. But like you said, the end of the season left a little bit to be desired. Maddie, how confident are you in the Sox bullpen?
just in a sheer talent perspective, I'd probably say like an 8 or a 9. I think they've got the horses that you want. You just, like you said, would hope that they were producing at a little bit higher clip going into it. But when you get down to it, you want the talent. And they've got, you know, at least 4 really talented arms in Crochet and then Kopech. So your young guys, Fireballers, got some just nasty stuff. And then obviously Kimbrel and Hendricks, you know, the you assume through the ending, you know, the closing, the high leverage innings, as they say, you know. But Kopech, I think, is going to be the key. I think he's the best pitcher on that staff from a talent perspective. I think overall he's got the best stuff. So I think you could see him deployed in a lot of situations where he might be pitching 2 or 3 innings at, you know, from the 4th to the 6th or the 5th to the 7th, you know, something like that, where I think his impact could be felt, you know, strong.
For sure. We obviously talked about Abreu. Anybody that you guys, if you had to put your money on one player at the plate to have a solid postseason, who is your pick for the Sox at the plate?
Robert.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, I'm going to go with Tim Anderson. I think Tim Anderson's swag is going to kind of be a nice little lift for that offense in the postseason. I think he's got that mindset of, you know, being the bulldog, the kind of the alpha, the carry, the locker room kind of thing, you know, in a playoff run. So I think I'm going to go with T.A.
I was actually going to say T.A. as well there, Maddie, just because, like, you talk about the leadership and, you know, when the spark that he adds, you know, both offensively and defensively, if he can get things going, they're going to be dangerous. So predictions, last thing here on the White Sox, predictions on the series with the Astros. I think it's going to be the Sox in 5. I really do. What do you guys think, Zach?
I'll go with Sox in 5.
Maddie?
I'm going to actually take them in 4 because I think they're going to win. And I think they're going to win game 1. And I think give them a chance to close it out at home with 2 games. I think the crowd at Guaranteed Rate is going to be nuts for games 3 and 4. It's going to be loud. It's going to be intense. I think that's going to be a big lift.
I don't hate that at all.
Last year.
Keep my White Sox World Series champion future going. So
Small one. I wouldn't hate it.
No, not at all. I wouldn't be complaining. Mine's very small, but I would, you know, give you some little something extra to cheer for. Let's move into some Bears talk. The Bears win last week, but the big news coming out of Halas Hall as of today, as we record on Wednesday, is that Justin Fields is QB1 going forward. What does this mean for the Bears? As they sit at, what are they, 2-2 now?
Yes, they're 2-2. It means that they have finally figured out what they need to do. And that is to let Justin Fields keep playing because he is the better quarterback. In the sense of he gives them more opportunities because, like what you've seen with Justin Fields, he can run for first downs, he can throw for first downs, he can run away from the bad offensive line. I think that they finally, for the first time all year, has made the right decision. And finally just saying, if this is Justin Fields' job going forward. Like, if you were really going to say, after what you saw on Sunday, that you're going to put Andy Dalton back out there, because, yes, if Justin Fields went out there and struggled again or whatever, but he threw some passes that were just amazing. And if you don't want to see that again because you want Andy Dalton to play for whatever reason, I don't know what their reasoning was going to be.
Yeah, that's just negligence at that point.
It's just bad. So I'm excited for him to finally get the opportunity to know that he is the starting quarterback going forward and that's what he gets to worry about.
I think it also gives him like a little peace of mind.
Uh-oh.
About like looking over his shoulder, am I going to get replaced after this? You worry, you know, if that's hanging over his head. So I think that gives him a little bit of a peace of mind to say, hey, I can go out and I can play free and not have to worry about, you know, getting replaced next week if I have a bad game.
Yeah, because that was just making the coaching staff look stupid.
Yeah. Maddie, pretty excited about Justin Fields' time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he gives them the best chance to win as much as anything. I don't think the offensive line is going to be really conducive to allowing a pocket passer to sit back and read a defense and try to dissect it. I don't think the ability is there for them. So I don't think Dalton gives them the best chance because his ability to how he would be successful doesn't fit with what the Bears have. You know, they don't have a good offensive line. I think that's Dalton would need that. Fields can make some plays outside of the pocket. I think that's what Lazor decided to do with last week when he got the reins of offensive play calling. And you just hope that kind of keeps up.
You alluded to it, Maddie. You got Bill Lazor calling plays now. Does that increase that's got to increase some sort of confidence. I mean, it's better than what it was.
It does and it doesn't because now you know that what Matt Nagy was doing is just the wrong thing. And, yes, it's nice that Bill Lazor's doing it or whatever, but it's just like he's still the head coach. Like, what were you doing that was so bad there?
Yeah. That's a good point.
What's he worse at, play calls or press conferences?
Yes, the answer to that is yes, both. Both bad. But let's look ahead. Obviously, the Bears head to Vegas this weekend. They play the Raiders there. Obviously, Justin Fields will be under center. But how are you guys feeling going into the Bears game this week? For the first time, the Bears will be playing in Las Vegas.
Be tough because we won't have Dave Montgomery, who's out 4 to 6 weeks. Luckily, it was not an ACL tear like what they maybe thought it was going to be. So we'll have to see what the how the running backs do. I know it's Mike Williams, right?
That sounds right.
I'm pretty sure that's who it is. And then we'll have to see how that goes because that is a big thing going forward here is with no Dave Montgomery, who has really been a guy that this offense. Damian Williams. Mike Williams, I think we had a few years ago.
You think of Mike Davis.
If you need Mike a few Davis yards.
That guy they had a couple years ago.
Oh, Mike Davis. If you need a few yards, you get the ball to David Montgomery. But he's not going to be there. So what? As much as we want to be excited about Justin Fields, we got to worry about the running backs too.
It's playoff Damian, man. Damian Williams had that good run a couple years ago at the Chiefs.
That's right.
He's tailing running back. He's not bad. I mean, he's got some talent at least. So it's not, you know, I think it's could be worse. We'll just put it that way.
I think realistically, you
maybe need to give Frank Gore a spin. You know, go bring him out of free agency / some quasi retirement. Give another team to throw on the
Wikipedia page. Absolutely. I think you got it, you know, going on the road anywhere. I mean, and obviously the Raiders struggled last week with the Chargers. But if you can keep it close and give yourself a shot at the end, I mean, that's really all you can ask for on the road. I think opening up right now, they're five and a half point dogs. But if, you know, Justin Fields can come in and weather the storm and keep them in the game and, you know, let the chips fall where they may at the end, I think that, like you said, the running game being down, but I mean, Vegas looked very, very average last weekend. So I think there is a chance for them. I'm not saying they're completely dead in the water, but Fields gives you a different look at things for sure. Let's move in. Before we get into Bulls talk, we talked about them a little bit earlier. Shout out to this the Chicago Sky. They won tonight in the semifinals. They'll be heading to the WNBA Finals. I believe they're the sixth seed in the WNBA Eastern Conference. So if you're looking for some meaningful basketball to watch, I actually watched game 4 tonight. Candace Parker, obviously you can't go wrong. And they got some really nice talent on that team. So they'll be going up against either the Phoenix Mercury or the Las Vegas Aces in the WNBA Finals. But as I think, Zach, you alluded to it earlier, the Bulls absolutely drubbed the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. I got some written down here. The Bulls won 131-95. They had 7 players in double figures, and they had 3 more guys with 8 points.
I think
LaVine, we scored 130 points tonight, boys. We're winning a lot of games.
I think LaVine was the only one that had 20 points or more.
Yes.
That was fun to watch. They looked
so fun.
They looked good.
It's nice. Like, it's nice having some veterans that know what the hell they're doing on the floor too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, like,
it's the Cavs. It's the preseason, whatever. But it looked fun.
It's a pro team. It's not a bunch of like guys that are just trying to find their way in the NBA anymore.
Yeah.
That's what they were for so long. Was just like a collection like a of draft picks that you're just hoping that you're hoping someone hits. And it's just like, you know, now at least, no, they're not the most talented team in the East, but they can beat some, they can win some games. And they're going to look entertaining at times too.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I said, I made a comment. One of my buddies texted me last night that it was enjoying watching the game. I said, it was the first time in a long time I've ever turned a Bulls game off because they were up so much.
Usually yeah, I turn it off. Surprising.
Getting their doors blown off. Also, at the United Center, the Blackhawks, 2-2 in the preseason. They got two left. Maddie, what are you looking for in the last two preseason? Do you watch all the preseason games for the Hawks, Maddie?
I haven't. I haven't watched much of anything. But I've been paying attention a little bit to, like, you know, what beat writers are saying about people and stuff. But saw Lucas Reichel was sent to Rockford, more of a move to protect his, you know, contract rights. They don't want to burn up a year of his entry level if they don't have to, or at least until they need to. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles going to Rockford.
Was Reichel the first round pick the 2020?
Last year. Yeah. Yeah. Talon, it sounds like he's been really good. It sounds like he's been really good in camp and in practices and stuff. So, you know, Jonathan Tate is getting everybody saying that, you know, he looks like he's back to almost full speed. So
that's awesome.
That's as good as anything getting, you know, adding a center like that to a team that, you know, was in dire need of, you know, help down the middle last year.
Oh,
yeah. Nice to be able to plug 19 right back into it again. So hopefully he can stay healthy. That's what at this point you just want to make sure everybody gets there, everybody stays, you know, sharp. Seth Jones pickup is bringing in positive reviews. Sounds like his brother Caleb Jones is playing really well too. So, you know, hey, it's interesting. They got a lot of talent. I think they could be really good. Fleury made a ridiculous save that was all over Twitter a couple days. Couple nights ago, so yeah, it's nice. I'm excited to see him.
Well, we can't wait to get it going. Hopefully we can get all Chicago sports, you know, something to look forward to. But something Zach looks forward to every day is Connect Roasters Coffee. Make sure that you check out Connect Roasters for the best coffee around. They work with our guy Dom Frederick and Ian Happ, so you know that it's good stuff. These guys wouldn't promote bad coffee. Zach loves it. Zach's mom loves it. They wouldn't drink bad coffee. You know it's good stuff. Make sure to check out their website, connectroasters.com. Follow them on Twitter, at Connect Roasters. You can find their products at Foxtrot Market and Dom's in the city. But make sure you check them out at Connect Roasters or connectroasters.com. Time to jump into some college football, boys. I'm going to quickly run down the in-state recap here. I always got to start off with my Huskies 3-2 with the biggest week of the MAC season for the Huskies. They are at Toledo. We hate Toledo. I still have a pin from my NIU days that says Tuck Toledo. Always a fun week. Some of the best MACtion games I've ever seen happen when the Huskies take on Toledo. Northwestern, they are at 2-3. They are off this weekend. Illinois sitting at 2-4, and they have homecoming against Wisconsin this weekend down in Champaign. Western and Eastern not looking great. Western's at 1-4, Eastern's at 1-5, and they are both on the road this weekend. Illinois State sitting at 2-3, and they played North Dakota State. If you know anything about FCS football, North Dakota State's really, really good. So maybe we can see a little upset out of the Redbirds. And the number 8 team in the FCS at 4-1, the Southern Illinois Salukis are hosting South Dakota State. Boys, I'm telling you, we got to get down to Carbondale and check out the Salukis and see if they're as good as advertised.
That would be fun.
Yeah, everyone says they're great.
Their only two losses are to a Montana team who beat Washington in week one and then to Kansas State, who a week later was ranked. So Southern Illinois getting things done. But let's get to the national scale. I picked 5 big games this week. We talk about them a little bit. Obviously, the Red River shootout this weekend, boys. Texas, Oklahoma. What are we thinking? Oklahoma's ranked 6th. They're favored by 3.5. Any chance the 21st-ranked Longhorns stick in this game here?
No, because I do not want, I don't want Texas to be back. I don't know. It's always fun when they're like, okay.
Yeah, I don't ever want them to be like super good, but I also don't want them to be like super bad. Just be like mediocre forever so every like you can still talk about them and then they can lose in like heartbreaking fashion.
I actually think that's exactly what they are this year.
It's yeah.
Like one of those, they're like kind of right where you want them to, like where you guys are describing that you want them to be. That's why I think they are. This is the week that they're going to show up and they're going to beat Oklahoma, in my opinion. Oklahoma has not looked good. The defense hasn't been nearly as good as expected going into the season. That was supposed to be what was going to carry that team between that and, you know, the Heisman, you know, favorite and Spencer Rattler, who just has not looked like he's, you know, they've been calling for the backup. The fans have been like crazy. He has not looked good. And, you know, so I think this is a chance that Texas can kind of, you know, get a big win, resume builder, and then watch them fall flat in their face in the next couple weeks because that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, Oklahoma is such a weird situation. They're 5-0, but like I could have sworn if I didn't look it up that they had one loss. It just they felt like they've played in a lot of close games.
I totally agree.
Next one, Ole Miss, Arkansas, both coming off of really tough losses last week. Ole Miss is at home -6. Can Lane Kiffin and the Rebs bounce back against a pretty good Arkansas team? What do you guys think?
I think Arkansas is not as good as advertised.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also not super convinced that Ole Miss is. Obviously, I think they have a much
better. Well, no, that was a pretty tough game against Alabama, but I still think that they're a pretty good team.
And especially them being at home, I think, helps a lot. But, I mean, I think it's one of those chances where Arkansas says, like, hey, we've been playing really well, and, you know, we had a bad week. Now we have to, you know, take that punch and get back up. I don't know if they have enough to do it at Ole Miss. Iowa, Penn State, boys. Iowa and Penn State, the third and fourth ranked team in the countries, kicking off at 3 p.m. at Kinnick in Iowa. Does Penn State have enough to go into Iowa and take down the Hawkeyes?
No, I think it's Iowa by a touchdown.
Maddie, what do you got?
I don't like Iowa. I'm with you. I don't like the I think Iowa fans are a little bit obnoxious in terms of like just I don't know, man. I just think they think that Iowa is a program that is at a level of prestige that they're just not really at. That said, I think it's a tough place to come in and play. Obviously, Kinnick's, you know, it's going to be a madhouse. And that game's at night, too, I believe. So, fan base should be nice and lubed up, too. It's going to be interesting. Penn State's, I think, got a really good team, though. Iowa loses a game every season when they're good. And it feels like this could be the week that they just lose a game that you don't expect them to. And I think they're the better team. I think being at home is a huge advantage. Something smells about this game, though, and yep. I think Penn State could definitely pick them off.
I agree. And with it being a 3 p.m. kickoff, I don't know. I might feel a little different.
Is it 3? I thought it was at night for some reason.
That's what I'm saying. I expect this game to be at night.
Should be.
But I like Penn State in this one. And like you said, Matt, it's just because something just seems fishy here, and Iowa's let me down so many times. One or two more. BYU. In Boise State, that game is at BYU. BYU ranked 10th in the country. They're 5-0. Another team that it doesn't feel like, kind of like in Oklahoma, it feels like they have a loss somewhere. Boise State, not a bad squad, but, you know, struggling here a little bit. Is BYU on upset alert this week at all, guys?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Boise State's got a chance.
I feel like this – we talked about the Iowa-Penn State game being – or should be a night game. This should be a night game. These are two mountain time zone teams. They shouldn't be playing at 2:30 in the afternoon. This game should be kicking off at like 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m. And the last college game
based on what we both said here, I think we could all agree that basically we need the boring Big Ten games and the low-level SEC games and ACC games to play like 11-3.
Yes.
And then give me all the other games at night. Mountain West.
Absolutely.
I want Mountain West, all the prime, you know, all the good, you know, good high level teams in the big conferences. Play them at night. We've got a nice schedule then, I think, in college football.
And then it should be, you know, an obligation that Hawaii has to play at 11 p.m. Well, yeah, every single
game. That's a must.
They don't have to play any away games, and if they do, they're in California. You can still play them at 11. That's like an 8.
I can always count on Zach firing off a bet on that one. I got somebody to talk to in that game every week.
That's always a good one. And last but not least, Georgia and Auburn. Georgia going on the road. Georgia's ranked second. Auburn's ranked 18th. Guys, I just think Georgia's – I worry that Georgia's going to drop a game somewhere, but I just don't know if it's going to be at Auburn this week. I don't think Auburn's good enough. I don't think that Bo Nix is any good.
Fellas, I'm going to say this. It's Alabama, Georgia, and everybody else this year. Those two teams are so dominant right now.
1,000% agree with you.
It's unreal. I mean, Alabama's what you expect, but Georgia is just amazing.
Yeah.
Georgia's defense is nasty.
I'm going to say this, and not just because I'm an Alabama hater, but I think right now, I think Georgia might be better than Alabama.
We'll see.
I think they've played better teams. I don't know. There's something about Georgia
right now. Let's just say I would love to see that game. I would love to see that game.
And we might get it twice. We might get it twice in the regular season and then for a national championship again. We'll see. All right. It is time for the NFL Week 5 picks. Through 4 weeks, I'm still in first place, 14-11-1. I went 4-2 last week. Zach and Matt both went 3-3. 14-11-1 for me. Zach is at 13-13, and Maddie is just behind at 12-14. Are we going to do the Thursday night game this week, I should ask, boys, before I make my picks?
No.
All right, let's go into the Saturday noon games. Packers on the road, -3. Give me that all day. I don't know. I don't see – this might be a trap game because obviously Cincinnati has looked pretty bad at times this year, and I just don't see it. Obviously, I know it's a road game, but give me the Packers -3 right there. And let's see for my other noon game. I will go Saints -2.
Ooh, I think the Saints look bad.
I don't think the Washington football team looks pretty bad themselves.
Very true. My first noon game is Broncos +1 at Steelers. I think the Steelers are bad. I take the Broncos money line. I don't get how they're +1 after what the Steelers did against the Packers. And then I'm also taking the Urban Meyer's got his swag back. Jaguars +4 versus the Titans, at home. I've got to take it. There's no way he's losing after that. He's got a swagger back. He's got his swagger back.
I like that pick a lot. Maddie, what do you got?
I don't know why this line is what it is, and it feels like such a trap, and I'm going to jump absolutely headfirst into it. How is Carolina only a 3.5-point favorite at home against Philly? Philly is trash, dude.
Yeah.
That team is trash. So you give them the standard 3 at home. You're telling me that Carolina is a 0.5 better than Philly right now? I don't know. That seems very weird to me. It's a weird number, and usually that would scream to me to take Philly. In this case, I can't do it. Philly sucks. So give me Carolina -3.5. There's a couple games that just throw me off in this slate, too. And one of them you brought up, Zach, and it's similar to my thought in this last game, was that Denver-Pitt game. Like, how is Denver a dog on the road right now? Like, that Pittsburgh team is another just trash squad right
now. Disaster.
Denver's got a great defense. I'm gonna ride with you on that one. I'm gonna take Denver plus the point.
I don't disagree. I think Pittsburgh is an absolute dumpster fire right now.
Yeah, Roethlisberger's not good, dude. He's just not.
No, not at all. And he's
got weapons too.
I am in the afternoon games. I'm gonna go team I've probably leaned on way too much. Give me the Browns +1.5. I am still. I don't know what it is. What'd you say?
I got 2 now.
All right. We'll put it down as 2. I just don't know.
Hey, Boomy, I'm gonna go against you. Chargers.
What about the Chargers? Have been so good though.
Their
pretty much
roster. Their roster.
I don't know. I'm not convinced.
They're balanced. Brandon Staley is an absolute dynamite coach.
I don't know.
I'm with you. I like the Chargers.
We'll see though.
That was gonna be one of my games. The Chargers are gonna be one of mine too. So I'm gonna.
It's me and Maddie versus Boone.
We got a 2-on-1. We got a 2-on-1 thriller here, boys. In the 3 o'clock.
And I'll check the standings, but I'm pretty sure that a couple times that's happened, I'm pretty sure I'm undefeated on the year. So mortal lock, locked on the Browns.
That's
so,
because you go in and switch the picks in your favor.
You can check all. You can check all of my.
And Boomy, just put me down Bears +5.5 too.
Yep, I had a feeling that was coming. I'm going to take the Cardinals -5.5. I feel like that's probably a trap as well as they played last weekend. But I think they're starting to click. I think they're starting to get some things.
I think they're a pretty good team.
Yeah, and I'm just not like super convinced that San Francisco is good enough to compete with them right now.
I just don't think. I hate to say this. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is their best quarterback right now.
I'm with you, man. I just
especially I think, not healthy.
I think Lance is pretty freaking good.
Yeah, I think he's got some. Obviously has some talent, but like I think he does more things positive than I expected him to do this early in his career.
He makes that offense. He makes that offense be able to do so much more.
I agree. So Zach, you had in the afternoon, you took the Chargers and the Bears. Maddie, you got the Chargers and the.
I got the Chargers, and I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys -7 against the Giants. Unless you see a 6.5 somewhere, I'll take it.
Nope,
but
I got. Seven. I think
Maddie, I saw that, and that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points, and
the
just,
Cowboys
I'm gonna,
are good.
I'm gonna take every one of them. The Cowboys are damn good. And I
they're
hate
good.
To say
I know.
It. I think they're an actual. I think they're an actual good team. Dak Prescott's been ridiculous coming off the injury that he did from last year.
They and if you're the Cowboys, weapons. If you're the Cowboys and you're at home against the Giants, this is a game you gotta win.
Has to, yeah. And I think the Giants I think they're riding a little bit high coming off of a comeback, big thrilling comeback win. In New Orleans, it's ripe for a letdown the following week. And I think Dallas is kind of a well-oiled machine right now.
Let's move into the Sunday night game. Should be the game of the week. We got the Bills and the Chiefs in Kansas City. I got Kansas City at -2.5 right now. Does anybody have anything different?
Yeah, 2.5.
I see 2.5.
Give me the Bills +2.5. I think the Bills are a better team. I don't know. I don't trust the Chiefs right now. They've shown weaknesses. Give me the Bills +2.5.
I'll take the Chiefs. I think Patrick Mahomes and this offense, they think they will have Josh Gordon. So I'm excited to see what that brings to this offense.
Maddie,
I'm going to side with Boomy on this one. I'm going to take Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to try to go with a little bit of a revenge factor. It's their chance to kind of right the wrong from the AFC title game last year.
See, that's the problem when you're the Chiefs and you've won all these games the last few years. You're going to get you're going to get everyone's best game.
I totally agree with you. That's why I think I'm going to. And Buffalo is so talented. I think Josh Allen's just if he's not in that elite tier quarterback, then I don't know what is because he's dynamite. And I think. Yes. He's got that kind of ability. I'm not saying he's better than Mahomes, but he can keep up with him in a shootout type game.
I agree. Monday night, we have the Ravens hosting the Colts. Oof, Ravens -7.
Can I pause
Ravens,
real quick?
Ravens -14.
Are the Ravens always on primetime right now? Like,
yeah.
This is me. Does this seem like they're on primetime every week, it feels like? I don't know.
Yes, it does. It feels every week they're in some big game.
They're always on prime time. I feel like when they were in the
it's nuts. Like it's every fucking week.
I'll take the Colts. That's a lot of points. I don't think Baltimore's that
good.
They
were the first. They were the first Monday night game, weren't they?
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah,
it was them and the Raiders.
Yes, I believe that.
They've been on Sunday night, I know as well.
I know that. Where was that? No, that was because they had the Sunday night game in week two against the Chiefs, and they were week one. They were the Monday night game. So I think that Indy's due, and I'm just not convinced that Baltimore's that good right now. I'm probably wrong on that, but give me the Colts plus 7. Zach, what did you have?
Ravens.
I got 6.5, and I am taking the Ravens too. I think the Ravens are head and shoulders better than the Colts. I think Carson Wentz stinks.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think there's a lot to cover, and I just at some point you feel like I feel like Indy's gonna. They've been in some close games. I just think at some point they're gonna get it figured out. And I'm not saying they're gonna win, but I think they are gonna cover and keep it close in that primetime game. But we'll see. We shall see. All right, let's wrap things up, boys. We got the TCF top three. We've talked about it all the time. We're big weather guys, as you can tell. The weather is changing. It is fall. We are doing the TCF top three of fall activities. Zach, I know you're a big fall guy. Why don't you go ahead and get us leading off here?
Bonfires. I love a good bonfire. Drinking around the bonfire.
Pretty much 1-1.
Chilling by the bonfire. A nice, cool night. Tonight would be a beautiful night to be doing that. Bonfires, it's 1-1.
All right, Maddie. You want me to go second?
You go second. Yeah, you can take it.
All right. You put me on the spot. I was kind of – all right, this is dumb. I have a dumb brain. It goes back to me as a kid. Seeing the tractors, okay? Tractors are out. It's harvest. Don't care if you think it's a bad pick. Tractors are cool. And there are a million tractors around my house right now. And I don't know. Tractors are just cool.
Boomy has more and more a brain like my 3-year-old, more so every day. It's just
I knew that comment was coming, and I'm okay with it. It is what it is.
Kids obsessed with tractors. You guys, I'll just set you guys up for a fall cruise out of the cornfields.
Dude, just send them out to my house. There's like 9 of them, 1,000 feet that way.
Speaking of that, Maddie asked me and Boomy, what should I have for dinner tonight? And I go, I like a good mac and cheese with mini corn dogs. And Maddie goes, that's actually exactly what my child likes.
That's the only thing he'll eat for dinner. It's literally ask him what he wants for dinner.
I respect
mac and cheese or mini corn dogs. Yeah, he's got a good palate, obviously. Speaking of palate, my first fall activity, it's not a food I'm eating, but it's a food I'm making. It's cooking chili. I love the process of cooking chili in the fall. The smell, it warms up the house, warms up the body when you do get to eating it. But the process is fun. It's nice and, you know, it's a good food to make, like, while there's football going on. It doesn't take a whole lot of work. Chopping stuff in the morning, getting all prepped and stuff like that, let it simmer and cook all day. It's pretty simple, but it's a relaxing task, but it's just
and
nothing
you get to chili for like cooking 8 a big days after. Chili.
Right. Oh, right. So Zach took bonfire. That was obviously a good pick, in my opinion. My second rounder, though, I'm going to go football tailgating. You know, tailgating at a college game, tailgating at a pro game. Absolutely top notch event. Can't go wrong with a good tailgate.
Well, man, I really think at this stuff because you guys have taken like 3 of my 5 things I had written down. I'm going to go with outdoor television. Because this is the perfect season for. If you can't have a bonfire, you take a projector outside, you take a TV outside. We do it on Zach's back porch. We take my projector out in my driveway. There's just something different about watching either a movie or watching a game on an outside projector. You throw a hoodie on. Outdoor television is the way to go in the fall.
I'm with Boomy on that one. My second pick is going to be the smell of burning leaves. Now that I live in town.
Or that could just be burning leaves, because that way it's the activity is burning leaves, the smell you get from it. But yeah, if you get a whole patch of wet leaves though, man, the stench gets a little bit bit musty.
I didn't say wet leaves, I said leaves.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying
you gotta make sure ones,
they smoke up. Get the allergies flared up. It's just a bad mix.
And then my last one, soup.
Oh.
Can't go wrong with a good soup. What are you talking about?
Soup stinks.
What? You stink, dude. You're soup? Just like, if you don't like soup, God. You're just like putting away so much. Like, there's not just one type of soup.
Dude, soup.
What, do you not like the, like, what's wrong with soup?
I just, no thanks.
You're an idiot.
I had a bad experience with soup. I once had a Christmas dinner that was nothing but soup, and I've ever since then I've had a vendetta against soup.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, there's too much soup here.
That's literally all it was. It's Christmas dinner.
Who doesn't like a good soup party? Come on.
I love soup.
Not when you're expecting Christmas dinner, Maddie.
Soup is dinner.
Suck it up.
No, it's not. Soup's an appetizer.
I had a bad experience one time. Had too much soup. Never ate it again.
What? I had too much delicious soup offered to me. A horrible first class problem to have.
It'd be one thing if soup was the appetizer, but when soup is the full course menu, no thing. Not at Christmas. Not for me.
So then you just go, I don't want soup ever again?
Yeah, I've kind of had a vendetta against it since I was like 17 years old.
Come on.
Unreal. Unreal. All right. Best.
Hang on, Maddie. I think it's, though, and it's mine, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's booming the new.
We're lost in the snake.
What bad pick is this gonna be?
Yeah.
Haunted houses.
Oh, that's a bad one. I hate them. I don't go. Why do I want to go somewhere and be scared?
It's kind of funny. I'm not the biggest like scary stuff kind of guy, but like I don't know, you get a good group of friends, you have a couple drinks before you go in. Make a good time out of it. Kind of make a mockery of the whole thing. Then it's kind of fun.
Not for me.
I'm going to go with one that's become a lot more fun the last few years for me, and it's the peak event of the fall, I think. And it's kind of the climax of the fall, you'd hope, is it's trick-or-treating. It's a great outdoor event. You get tons of candy. You see tons of funny costumes, tons of good kid costumes. Kids all have a blast. Adults get to drink and it's a good time outside. It's just, I don't know. It's a fun event to watch and see in the neighborhood. So trick-or-treating is a good way to go to cap off the fall, in my opinion.
As a parent, too, it's nice you can do the old dad tax, you know.
Kid's Jack. He wants to be a ghost this year. And we asked him if he wanted to be a scary ghost or a happy ghost. Do you want to be a scary ghost? He goes, no, I want to be a happy ghost. So it's like, all right, well, we got to figure out how to make a happy ghost. But the kid's going to be a ghost.
I don't mean to be this guy, Maddie, but what ghost is happy?
Casper.
Yeah, that's
kids
that's
never seen Casper. Okay, that's a good
kids
call.
Kids never seen Casper though, so I don't know where he's getting these ideas of happy ghosts from. So it's interesting. I don't know.
I messed up. I shouldn't have said haunted houses. I like scary movies way more than I like haunted houses.
Nope, I really can't go back. Sorry, you're your ticket.
I'll let you guys have this one win for once because mine are always far superior. So. I'll let you guys have this.
You can put it in there. I don't care. It's not better than mine.
You win. You automatically win with Bonfire, but let us know what we missed. Obviously, Bonfire's one, like Matt said. But that was episode 116 of Typical Chicago Fans. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at @typical_Chicago. Check our Facebook and Instagram page. Subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Find us on Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. You can follow me on Twitter at BoomyTCF, Zach at ZLiliaTCF, and Maddie at Schools_01. Make sure you check out our sponsors, ConnectRoasters.com, for the best coffee that you can find. Follow them on Twitter as well at ConnectRoasters. Make sure to head to Beer Baseball Repeat for our new merch. Let us know. Send us a screenshot when you buy one, and we'll make sure that if we get enough sold, we'll do a giveaway. Great dudes over there at Beer Baseball Repeat. Great shirts. Pick up some TCF merch in all different colors, all different styles, and also pick up some of their awesome T-shirts that they have there as well. But thank you for joining us for episode 116 of Typical Chicago Fans. We love you all.
Shout out to Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber. I love you guys.